Okay, let's get started.
Wait, just a minute, partner.
No.
Guess again, freak boy.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
AudioTU.com. Another fresh picked pod from AudioTU.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to episode 12 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from AudioTU.com, and with me on the line from Melbourne via Skype, the troubadour of the tripod, Shelton Muller.
I was going to say, wait for it.
How are you?
Really well, mate. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
That's good.
What's new?
I've just returned from being a few days away with some photography friends of mine.
Yep.
We do this every year in Melbourne Cup weekend. We have a Tuesday that Melbourne Cup runs on, and we are able to take a four-day weekend. I take one anyway. And for the last 15 years or so, my friends and I have been getting together, getting older but getting funky, getting out and taking pictures. On this weekend, we go away for 4 days, and we concentrate on our photography and our friendships. And it's a really, really good time. And now my son is coming, who's 14. Awesome. And it really is a great time. Being professionals, a few of us are professional photographers, we find that although we love our jobs, you know, we tend to have to photograph for everybody else. This is just purely photography for us, and we really enjoy ourselves. So we're a little tired. We come back a little tired because there's got to be a whiskey and campfire session in there somewhere. But apart from that, we have a really, really good time.
Fantastic. Sounds like a lot of fun.
I would recommend it to anybody, yeah. Especially if you're a professional. Get out and shoot for yourself. But if you're an amateur and enthusiast photographer, often you find yourself very alone in your hobby, and that's no good. If you can find some friends, or perhaps join a camera club and make some friends, and organize a weekend away where you can just go out and shoot for yourselves, one thing is sure, you're going to have a good time, and second thing, you're going to learn something from your peers.
Yeah.
Every year, I find myself learning from, you know, people who aren't as experienced as I are, aren't professional. I've learned from my friends who just, you know, have it as a hobby. And it's a really good way to keep the passion up.
Excellent.
Mm, mm.
All right. I understand this week we're talking about contrast.
We are going to because, of course, we've clicked over to daylight savings down here in Australia.
Yep.
And that means we are entering upon one of the most difficult times of year, especially in Australian conditions, to take photographs that have detail in highlight and detail in shadow.
Sure.
Even in, you know, the northern hemisphere where the light can tend to be a little softer, it still can be a problem. Your eye, for instance, it can handle a difference in brightness, or what we call a dynamic range, of about 11 camera stops, or the equivalent.
Wow.
Of 11 camera stops. So we can see with the human eye in detail to that degree in both highlight and shadow.
Yeah.
Print film, what we used to, you know, negative film used to be a ratio of about, you know, 64 to 1 or about 5 stops.
Right.
And that wasn't bad. You know, you'd get detail in shadow and highlight to the difference of about 5 stops. But slide film was only about 3 stops. Now, digital is about the equivalent of slide film. Yeah. So it doesn't give you a large dynamic range. The new Fuji S3 is boasting that it has certainly increased the dynamic range, and I've seen evidence of that, and that's an excellent camera. It allows you to get a lot more detail in the highlights than a lot of cameras in its range, but of course there are new CCDs being manufactured and marketed, and all the new pro ranges of cameras, so there'll be all sorts of ways that the camera companies will, you know, market their own ways of increasing the dynamic range of digital. But let's say just for the moment that you wouldn't have much more than 3 or 4 stops where you could really have detail in both highlight and shadow.
Right.
So it's up to us then as photographers to manipulate our situations to the best possible degree to reduce the contrast in an image so that we do have detail and in shadow and in highlight to the best of our ability. Now, of course, one of the best ways to manipulate that is to find yourself in the right place at the right time. You know, if you were photographing a rainforest, for instance, or any forest for that matter, you'll notice that because there's so much going on, simply because of how many trees and bushes and stuff there is, that you've got a lot of contrast. There are shadows being cast all over the place,
yeah.
Especially if you're photographing with very direct summer sun. So a situation like this would call for diffused light, cloudy day, and even even in the morning, early morning, when we always recommend that you take photographs, or late afternoon, you'll still have a very contrasty situation simply because of the nature of the subject. So in a situation like that, find yourself in the right light. And if you're embarking on a project like that, then and you haven't got the right light, find something else to photograph, because it just won't work. So really, your starting point is choosing the light to match the situation, and vice versa, choosing the situation to match the light. You can't often change what's going on in the weather, but you can change how you see that, or how you photograph that, or perhaps even what you photograph that day. But let's say, for instance, that you can't change what you're doing. Well, the best thing to do, especially with digital, is to expose for the highlights. You know, if your scene has a mixture of very bright and very dark areas, your light meter will be all over the place trying to work out what is the best exposure. In a situation like that, switch your camera to spot metering mode if you can. If your digital SLR or your SLR has spot metering mode, switch it to spot metering and find a highlight. And you meter for that, but remember, of course, that it will, because it's reflecting a lot, it will automatically expect a mid-gray. So even that may not be as accurate as you want it to be. You will probably need to take a couple of test shots, but expose for the highlights so that you don't burn them out. This is basically what we're saying.
Yeah.
Once, especially in a digital file, once you've burned out the highlights, you can never get the detail back. This would be especially true if you were photographing, say, a bride in a white dress on a bright day. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Once you've lost the detail, and brides spend a lot of money on the detail, you can't get it back. So expose for the highlights so as to maintain them. Now, you're going to lose shadow detail, but you've got a digital image. So what you can do, especially if it's a landscape, you can take a series of photographs, two or three photographs, and using, you know, PaintShop Pro or Adobe Photoshop, you can layer them one upon the other and just erase the areas that aren't metered correctly, keeping the areas in each frame that are. So you take the same photograph using a very sturdy tripod two, three times, and, you know, using your eraser tool or whatever means you want, keep the areas in those photographs that you like and that are well metered, and delete the others. If you want to do the same thing in camera, you can use graduated filters, of course, to, you know, keep perhaps detail in the sky and detail in the foreground at the same time. If you're doing portraits, of course, then that's going to be a little more difficult, because people move and, you know, you won't be able to necessarily as easily, say, take a number of photographs and mix them in the computer. So fill flash is always an option, but it does look a little bit contrived. So use a reflector, if at all possible. And that can be anything. It can be one of these professional fold-out reflectors that are made by Lastalite and other companies. Or you can just simply get a white tea towel or a bit of white cardboard or anything like that, and use that as a reflector to just reduce the contrast in the shadow areas.
Or the sun shield off the dashboard of the car.
Sunshield off the dashboard of the car. You know, those things actually, yeah, they work really well.
Absolutely.
And they're sort of a silver gray.
Yep.
So they actually work quite well. And they're only a few dollars down at your local, you know, car accessories retailer. You can certainly do that. That's for sure. You can also change your position relative to the sun. If you're photographing a portrait in early morning or late afternoon light, you can still find that it's fairly contrasty, especially in Australian conditions. So what you may want to do is move your position so that your subject has less contrast by positioning yourself so that the sun is a little more behind you than perhaps beside you. Maybe not necessarily directly behind you, but perhaps just a little bit off to your right or left-hand side, so that you've got a much nicer light striking the subject, especially if it's a person. It's more even across the face if you position yourself and your subject according to the sun in a more complementary manner. So that can actually be very, very effective. If the sun is, you know, at a 90-degree angle beside you, you will get one side in shadow and one side in brightness, and you can again face the same problem. So you would be wise to sort of move yourself around a little bit.
But at least then with a reflector, you can bounce it back to the dark side to sort of balance it out a bit.
That's right. That's exactly right. And that of course, also depends on how much of the person that you want in the photograph. If you're doing a full-length photo, which you often do in bridal portraiture, for instance, it's much more difficult to reflect light back, because often you have to stand fairly close with a reflector for it to really work, especially if it's a very contrasty situation. But indeed, it certainly is worth trying. I have a reflector, a fold-out reflector, in my gadget bag. That's where it stays. And I used it in China. I used it over the weekend. I've used it, you know, in a lot of bridal photography in Jade's wedding, because they are one of the handiest accessories you can have. If you haven't got one, go and get one or make one or something, because it's the best, it's the most natural way of reducing contrast. You can also use buildings. You know, the wall of a building is a great way to reflect light back. Placing someone close to some reflective surface is a great way to reduce contrast. And that's really what you've got to do if you're shooting, especially in digital. Try and get as much detail in the shadow and highlight as you possibly can. There's a great filter or tool in Photoshop. It's the shadow highlight tool that you find if you go to Image, Adjustments, and then Shadow Highlight. That tool is excellent for balancing out the highlight area and the shadow area of a photograph without actually affecting either. You can work in the highlight of a picture without it adversely affecting the shadow area and vice versa. It's just a great tool that you can use in Photoshop to balance things out. But as I say, if you haven't exposed for the highlights and you've lost detail in the highlights, you're not going to get it back, no matter
it's
how much.
It's gone for good.
It's gone. It is absolutely gone. So if in a situation like that, I repeat, expose for the highlights and work the shadows digitally if you have to, using a computer and, you know, or using an imaging suite like PaintShop Pro or Adobe Photoshop to bring that back. And as you and I were speaking about earlier, if you can, shoot in RAW to give yourself a 16-bit image, so that you have a lot more depth of information and you get less noise when you're bringing up detail in shadows than you would, say, with working in a JPEG, for instance.
Which is only an 8-bit file.
That's right. And it has all these camera algorithms attached to it that have already manipulated the image in camera before you even get it up on the monitor. So, yeah, use RAW as much as you can, to especially in a contrasty situation, and you will be able to manipulate the image without, you know, too much loss of detail or noise inherent in the picture when you're finished. So this is just a few tips to help us out for summer. And as I say, if you're a Northern Hemisphere listener, come back to this podcast in 5 or 6 months' time when the sun comes out for you up there.
Sensational. Thank you, Shelton.
That's a pleasure, Bruce. I hope our listeners enjoyed that. And of course, we're still welcoming emails and comments on anything that you want to know, a technique that baffles you, a situation that you want some help with, a camera or some digital advice you need. Please let us know via the audiotoyou.com website and we'll be happy to help you out.
Absolutely. And while we're mentioning the website, I'd just like to remind everybody of the competition we're running at audiotoyou.com at the moment. You could win one of the following three products: Symantec Norton Antivirus 2006, Symantec Norton Internet Security Suite 2006, or Symantec Norton Ghost version 10. Now, to win one of these three prizes, just swing by the homepage. On the right-hand side, you'll see a button that says Take Me to the Survey. Fill in the survey, should only take you about 60 seconds, and come December the 4th, you might end up with an early Christmas present.
That sounds good.
Good luck.
That sounds worth doing for 60 seconds, doesn't it, mate?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yep. All right, Shelton, we will talk with you in a week.
Looking forward to it, Bruce. Thanks again.
All right, mate, take care.
You too.
You've been listening to another Fresh Picked Pod from audiotoyou.com. Audio to You delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable.
You be the boss.
Hear what you want to hear
when you want to hear it.
Hey, now that's a good idea.
Audiotoyou.com. Hit us today.
And remember,
control D to bookmark.
Audiotoyou.com.